Well, good morning again, and we are glad that you have chosen to be with us today in week number 3 of our series called Family Matters. And kids, you can head back to junior worship now if you'd like. We are in the middle, or actually 3/4 of the way through this series, and my title this morning is, we're going to focus on the moms. Now, I know last week was Mother's Day, so last week I kind of preached to the dads and the husbands, so today is sort of the moms and the wives, and hopefully that skit helped us to understand how incredibly important mom is in the house and how incredibly important she is to the well-being of all who are there, and also the laundry, food, all of those kinds of things. Now, being a man, I am obviously not an expert on womanhood, all right? However, I can say this, that God is the greatest authority on womanhood. God in His Word is the greatest authority on womanhood. So since I have access to His Word, then I have the ability to talk in an authoritative way with God who has my back on this subject of womanhood. And today we're going to look at the incredible potential of a wife and mother. But before we get started on that this morning, I have a little extra biblical counsel for wives that I surveyed all of the men here in the congregation, and we came up with about 18 pieces of advice that we would like to give to you. Now, again, this is not from the Bible, and you may be tempted to want to throw your Bible at me when I finish this, but we just want to get started. These are some things from the men here in the congregation that we would like you to be aware of as we think about your incredible potential. Number one, birthdays, Valentine's, and anniversaries are not quests to see if we can find the perfect present yet again. Sometimes we are not thinking about you, just live with it. Do not ask us what we are thinking about unless you are prepared to discuss such topics as navel lint, the shotgun formation, how to call a duck, or NASCAR. Sunday equals sports, it's like the full moon or the changing of the tides, let it be. Shopping is not a sport, and no, we are never going to think of it that way. This is really important. When we have to go somewhere, absolutely anything you wear is fine, really. Okay? It's okay with us. Number 8, crying is blackmail. Ask for what you want. Let us be clear on this one. Subtle hints do not work. Strong hints do not work. Obvious hints do not work. Just say it. We don't remember dates. Please mark birthdays and anniversaries on a calendar. Remind us frequently beforehand. Most guys own 3 pairs of shoes tops. What makes you think we'd be any good at choosing which pair out of 30 would look good with your dress? Yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers to almost every question. Come to us with a problem only... I love this one. Come to us with a problem only if you want help solving it. That's what we do. Sympathy is what your girlfriends are for. Anything we said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all comments become null and void after 7 days. If something we said can be interpreted 2 ways, and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, we meant the other one. This is a lot of wisdom from the congregation here, ladies, isn't it? A lot of guys, way to go. You can either ask us to do something or tell us how you want it done, not both. If you already know best how to do it, just do it yourself. Can I get a witness? Whenever possible, please say whatever you have to say during commercials. Christopher Columbus did not need directions, neither do we. All men see in only 8 basic colors. Peach, for example, is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkin is also a fruit. We have no idea what mauve is. 2 more. We are not mind readers and never will be. Our lack of mind reading ability is not proof of how little we care about you. And the last one is, if we ask what is wrong and you say nothing, we will act like nothing's wrong. We know you are lying, but it is just not worth the hassle. So those are the other greetings, other things that the men in the congregation, that's actually not true, the men in the congregation did not send me those things that we would like to share with you. But now today we're going to go back and look at the Bible. So let's review just a little bit as to what we talked about over the last 2 weeks. The big idea for the first week, we talked about this idea of why marriage, is that marriage is God's expression of His desired relationship to mankind. And one of the things that I really wanted to highlight there is that your marriage relationship, my marriage relationship, is really bigger than just between you and your spouse. It is It is the way that God has chosen in part, not a complete revelation, but it is the way that God has chosen in part to demonstrate how he relates to you and I. God describes himself in the Old Testament frequently as a father to the nation Israel. And then, of course, in Ephesians in the New Testament, we read that husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church. And he makes this analogy between marriage and the relationship that God has with his church. Last week, we talked to the husbands. We talked about husbands who lead, love, and live like Jesus will matter greatly to their family and to their world. So today's big idea is simply this. When a wife focuses her attention on her inside world, God increases her impact on her outside world. And really, this is true for men too. But when a wife focuses her attention on her inside world, God increases her impact on her outside world. Now, last week we looked at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 27 or so. And in there are several different commands to husbands. We looked at three of them. There are only two commands in Ephesians chapter 5 for wives. One of them is to submit to their husbands and to respect their husbands. But ladies, I know you can handle more than two things. So we're moving off of Ephesians and going to Titus, where there's four commands. I didn't know if the men could handle four, but I know you can handle four. So we're going to look at Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And Titus is a book that the Apostle Paul wrote to a man named Titus who was pastoring and leading a church on the island of Crete. And Titus is full of how to do relationships, how to work with people in the church and in the culture and society. So let's read Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And that phrase at the end is really, really important, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And that phrase is actually repeated three times, or similar phrase, in the beginning of the book of Titus. You see, again, it's not just about me, and it's not just about you. It's about how people view the God that we claim to follow. So, quickly, number one, to reach my God... There's a fly buzz. To reach my God-given potential, God will enable me to, number one, love my family. It says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Now, if I have my facts straight, which I think I do, this is the only part in the entire New Testament where women are told or encouraged to love their husbands. This is the only place. Why is that? It is that way because it is just natural for you to love. It is far more natural for you to love than it is for a man to love. And we talked about this last week. Love is typically a woman's oxygen supply. It is what she needs to function. Men don't typically need that. And so by the fact that we don't need it, we struggle sometimes in understanding how much you need that and how to express that to you. But the Bible doesn't really say that much about it, and I really don't have that much to say about it either, except this. A woman's capability to love is a great strength. Please, ladies, do not let anyone ever try to convince you or ever try to put down your God-given ability to love. This culture, this society, the kingdom of God needs your love. It is not a weakness. It is absolutely not. It is a God-given strength. And we need you to love to the full capacity that God has given you. Us men may not understand it. We may not be able to duplicate it. We may fall well short to the desires that you have for that, but we need you never to give up that desire. We need you never to give up that capability. So the first idea is love. The second one is simply to develop my character. To reach my God-given potential, God will enable me to develop my character. Now, again, these qualities really are for men and for women, but they're listed here in the passage that talks about the wives. So let's look briefly at some of these words. The first one is discreet. Now, discreet means to be sober or to have a sound mind. Sober doesn't have anything to do with alcohol. It has to do with self-control. So God says, listen, ladies, what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you to have a sound mind. God wants to help you to be able to think things through, to be clear, and to have good wisdom. The second word that he talks about is chaste, which means pure. God wants all of his children to be pure, and there's a special emphasis here to Titus to speak to the ladies, to say, ladies, we want you to be pure. And you know what? Ladies, you have to fight an entire culture that portrays women in very impure ways. And you have to fight through all of that noise and all of that countercultural sort of thing to kind of go against this idea of purity. And as you're raising your daughters, you have to fight through the constant pull and temptation to work in an impure way. Well, they wear that, or will they do that? But God is calling you to live a pure life and calling you to raise children who are pure. The third word is good, which means morally right and correct. Right? Morally right and correct. God, in order to reach your God-given potential, God wants to help you to be morally right and correct. So just some qualities. Now, one of the passages that I also really like to share when I talk with ladies is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Do not let it be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." A woman's focus must be on the inside and not on the outside. And again, ladies, this is where some of us men, we just really have a hard time understanding the struggle, because I read somewhere where there's like $7 to $8 billion a year spent on cosmetics. And I'm guessing that if you add up all the amount that men spend on that, it's probably about $2.57. Okay? But there's such pressure. There's such societal pressure. I was you know how when you log on to Yahoo, I use Yahoo for my email, and when you log on there you get those little thumbnails that pop up all the time. And one of them was about Cindy Crawford. And apparently Cindy Crawford is 47 years old. And there was a picture of Cindy Crawford on there on some sort of a gala or something that she had attended. And I didn't click on the picture, but the thumbnail said something about, you know, Cindy Crawford looks wonderful at 47. All right? And I thought to myself, well, that's really interesting. But what does she look like on the inside? What does she look like on the inside? That's what's really important. But you see, there aren't typically men who show up on those thumbnails and it says, George Clooney looks great at, I don't know, 52 or whatever. We don't have that kind of pressure. We don't have that kind of thing put upon us. Yet you do consistently, day after day after day. You have images, you have expectations that the world puts upon you about your exterior. And yet the Word of God says very, very little. If almost nothing at all about the exterior. If you look at like Proverbs 31, which is sort of the classic text about sort of the Wonder Woman of the Bible in terms of being able to do all of these things, there's nothing really in there about what she looks like on the outside. It has to do with who she is on the inside. And so, ladies, if you want to reach your God-given potential, you must let God work on the inside, not the outside. Now, it doesn't mean that wearing makeup is wrong. It doesn't mean wearing nice clothing is wrong. It doesn't mean wearing gold or earrings or none of that is wrong. It just must not be the focus if you want to reach all that God wants you to be. And men, we have to recognize that in our relationships, we're bombarded with all of those images and all of those things as well. But what must be most important to us is not what our wife appears on the outside, but what God is doing on the inside. A thought also here is that time is the enemy of the outside. Time is the enemy of the outside appearance of a woman, but it's also a friend of her inside appearance. I want you to think about that for a second. There is, now I'm not trying to equate women with cars here, but there's no car in a junkyard that didn't start out brand new and shiny. But what has happened? Time is the enemy. Time is the enemy of the outside appearance of men and of women, but the pressure seems to be so much more on women. Time is the enemy. We can try to defeat time a little bit. We can try to do things to try to change time around a little bit and delay the inevitable process of aging, but it happens. The body that we have, because of sin, wears out. It wears down. It decays. It goes away ultimately into death. And time is the enemy of the outside appearance, but it is a friend of the inside appearance. Time spent with God develops your character. Time spent with God develops your relationship with Jesus Christ. Time spent with God, time spent in His Word, time spent with God's people is your friend to build up the qualities that really matter to God and really matter to the world around you. You know, when you go to a funeral for a woman, no one ever stands up and says, you know, she really looked great at 32 in that dress. No one says that. No one talks about that. They talk about other qualities. They talk about the impact that she's had in someone's life, in her children's life, in her husband's life, in her friend's life, in her work's life. Those are the things that they talk about. And those are the qualities that need to be developed over time. So why spend too much time on that which you're going to lose anyway, and instead spend more time on that which God can take and make you a winner? So I have a challenge for you to think about this, ladies. I would like to challenge you to think about the idea of spending as much time in the Word of God as you spend on the outside. Just a little thing to think about. Don't know how much time, if you wear makeup, whatever you do, I don't know how much time it takes you to get ready in the morning. Okay? Maybe some of you do that in 2 minutes. Maybe some of you do it in 25 or 30 minutes. Maybe some of you were the ones who were still driving down the road, you know, doing the mascara. No, please don't do that. It always scares me, you know, doing that when you're driving. You can hurt yourself doing that. Don't do that. But let me just ask you to think about the amount of time that you spend working on the outside, is it at all commensurate to the time you give God working on the inside? The same challenge I can give to the men who are here today as well. But we spend very little time working on the outside. So God is interested in your inner appearance to Him, not the outer one. Number three, to reach my God-given potential, God will enable me to take care of my home. I know this is appears somewhat sexist, and in today it's always, you can't talk about this. But you have been given the primary responsibility by God to be the homemaker, to be the one who takes care of the home. Outside norms and cultural norms have shifted in many ways. I know many of you work outside the home in terms of another kind of job. But still, the primary responsibility is upon you. Now, please notice that it doesn't say that the primary responsibility for laundry is on you. Doesn't say that the primary responsibility for you filling the household chore is on you. Men, you can do that just as well as your wife can. So we're not talking about delineating tasks here. Men, don't go, well, he said the primary responsibility is for you to take care of the home, so you need to do that laundry over there. That's not what I'm talking about. All right, men, you can do just as much or more laundry. Men, you can do just as much or more dishes. And especially if your wife is working outside the home, you need to pitch in. You need to contribute to that. And you need to do as much as you can. But ladies, God, I believe, has uniquely gifted and uniquely crafted you to be the primary responsible person for the caretaking of your house. You have the ability to do this that most of us men just don't understand. I was thinking about how to illustrate this, and I went back to my experience in the Navy. Any of you in the Navy, any of you spent any time in the Navy? All right, Troy spent time in the Navy. I was on a submarine for just a little while, a couple of summers, a few weeks here and there, nothing significant or anything. But there's a guy on a submarine who's called the chief of the boat. Now, the chief of the boat is not the commander of the submarine. The chief of the boat is the senior enlisted person on the submarine. He typically has been in the Navy longer than any other person who's on that submarine at that particular time. And the chief of the boat's responsibility is essentially to run the submarine. Now, he's not the commander. He's not an officer in the submarine. He's not someone who's going to say fire one, fire two. He's not that kind of a person. But he runs essentially all the day-to-day operations of the submarine as the chief senior enlisted person on the submarine. Now, most chief of the boats that I know are heavily tattooed, smoke too much, drink too much, and curse, well, like a sailor. So I don't really want the analogy to go too far here for the ladies, but I want you to think of yourself as this, the chief of the house, still ultimately under the authority of your husband, like the chief of the boat is under the authority of the commander. But that chief of the boat has the responsibility, in essence, to run the day-to-day operations of the submarine. And I think, ladies, you have that responsibility to run the day-to-day operations of the house. And then that may mean your wife say, you know what, honey, in order for me to do this, you really need to do the laundry. You say, okay, I'll do that. Or honey, in order for me to operate this house effectively, you need to really step up to the plate and do more dishes. And a man who was a servant leader will say, you know what, you're right. I see that. He may want to talk about it a little bit more, but he'll come to the grips and say, yes, you're right. That's what I need to do. And so God has called you to be a homemaker. And what's so important about this is this sentence right here, is that few people, well, that's the next one, few things have the lasting impact of the home environment. I mean, ladies, think about this. Few things in this life have the lasting impact of a home environment. So don't ever, for one minute, think that that's not important and that that doesn't matter. Okay. Last one. To reach my God-given potential, God will enable me to love my family, develop my character, take care of my home, and submit to my husband. Did I get that one out? I'm sorry, I had trouble saying that. Love my family, develop my character, take care of my home, and to my husband. It's become such a nasty word in our culture, and it's really not meant to be a nasty word, and it's meant to be a word that's not only important in the Scripture, but one that we need to understand. And it really goes hand in hand with what we talked about last week. Now, the word here, submit, and the word that is in Titus is obedient. It's the same word that we see as submit in Ephesians chapter 5. And it simply means this, to place under the authority of. To place under the authority of. And it conjures up these images of early cavemen and one with club in hand and wife's hair in the other hand. Right? That's not what this word talks about. It simply talks about placing under the authority of. It is not an indicator of character or value. The chief of the boat on a submarine is probably the most important person on that ship. And one of the things you learn when you go into the Navy as a junior officer is that you tend to have authority over, because you're an officer, you have authority over enlisted men on that ship who may have been in the Navy for 10, 15, or 20 years. And you're only in the Navy for a minute and a half. And you have authority over them. And if you go in there and you start throwing that authority around, they'll let you fail. They have no problem doing that. So it's not about value. It has nothing to do with character. It has to do with position. And it has to do with the way that God has designed the home to function and to work. Submitting, and this is something that Eggerich talks about in his book, Love and Respect. Submitting to a husband allows him to move towards you, to protect and to provide for you. That is one of the ways in which God has wired men. God has wired men to protect and to provide. And when you submit to him, when you place yourself under him, he gives him the motivation and desire to move towards you, to protect and to provide for you. The greatest argument against this is, well, if I submit to him, it will make him a domineering and abusive individual. I don't think that's true. If he's going to be abusive and domineering, he's going to be abusive and domineering whether you submit to him or not. And I think there are a lot of really good-willed men out there and good-willed women who kind of buck against these trends because they're afraid that it's going to turn out really badly when it's really not going to turn out badly at all. He's a good-willed man toward you. He wants to move toward you to protect you and to provide for you. But if you won't place yourself under his authority, if you won't work within the context of what God has for you, God can't do all that he wants to do in your home and in your marriage. So submitting to a husband allows him to move towards you, to protect and to provide for you. There's a phrase out there that we use in my house a lot. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But even a more important phrase is, if mama ain't happy, then God's plan is hindered. If you ladies do not fulfill these roles that God has, the word, we touched on this in the very beginning, it says that the word of God may not be what? Blasphemed. Men and women, we have to get this right. Men and women, we fail. We mess up all of the time, but we have to get this right. The world is watching us. And when we mess it up and when we goof it up, we have to acknowledge that we've done that and we have to try to get back on the track and do that which God, because you know what? Family really does matter. Family really, really matters. And if you've got any questions and some of this stuff lands, and I only have a few minutes to talk, and I sometimes say things that come out wrong, and I'm always willing to talk about anything that we talk about here on Sunday morning. But I want you ladies to fulfill the roles that God has given to you. Our society needs that. Our families need that. Our church needs that. Our entire world needs that. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for your clear words to us. I'd just like to pray right now for the husbands and wives together. Somebody's here this morning and their spouse isn't here. I just want to offer a prayer of blessing. Father, I pray that you will work with us, husbands and wives, perhaps just a mom or just a dad in the family. Father, I just want to pray that you, in your infinite power and your infinite wisdom, would be able to overcome and work through all of our shortcomings, all of our issues, all of our sin. And I pray that we would be willing to just open up your word, to use it as a mirror, to show us what things we need to emphasize, what are our strengths, what are our weaknesses, what things do we need your spirit to change. Lord, we want to live a life, to have a family that reflects who you are to the world around us. As you have given us this incredible responsibility. Father, I pray, I know there are those here this morning that are not called to be a part of a family in terms of marriage or children. And I pray that you continue to pour into them as well. And as we pray for one another, may we work together to fulfill everything that you have called us individually and collectively to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.